the Michael Ballas Show, 720 WGN. It has been, well, let's just say an interesting week in City Hall. Joining us on the phone right now is Alderman Ray Lopez. How are you, Alderman Lopez? Thank you for joining us.
I'm good, Matt. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Crazy times, and Friday during the day was a bit crazy with City Hall. You guys had a special meeting called, and I was following your tweets yesterday, and things did not turn out like you were hoping they would, it sounded like. What went down there?
Well, you know, first, I think it's important to recognize that this is a historic first for the city council. Not since the days of Richard J. Daley has the city council members independently called a meeting and been able to meet the quorum requirements to proceed with business. So that's a long time coming. Unfortunately, the mayor and her allies stepped up their efforts to try and push back immediate action on some key items that were designed to address the discussion of safety in the city of Chicago. And I think that's unfortunate, but the will was there by nearly 20 members of the city council to have a discussion today. And I think that we will continue to build on this and show the urgency that our residents demand, that aldermen take a more proactive stance in the leadership role of the city of Chicago.
You tweeted earlier on Friday, what does it say when you ignore the invited guest, Jennifer Coleman of Kim Fox's office, who came to speak to the council, and Lightfoot not only disrespected the office, but ignored the direct call of the special meeting. So what went down in the meeting? What can you tell us?
You know, I can tell you exactly what happened. The mayor did not want to give the office of the state attorney the opportunity to address the members of the city council, the elected representatives of the citizens of Chicago. And that is in clear and direct violation of what the filing for the special meeting was. It is completely disrespectful when we have an outside elected official take the time to address the members of our city council. And I would challenge the mayor to answer why she refused to give the people the opportunity to publicly hear from the state's attorney what she was doing and what she continues to do to increase the safety of our citizenry.
So when you say that she ignored her, did she not allow her to speak? Did she just ignore what she was saying? What exactly went down?
So there were three items on the agenda: the resolution for the National Guard, the resolution for budget hearings, as well as the opportunity to receive our guest, which in this case was the Jennifer Coleman from the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. The mayor read that, the clerk read that, and I worked all morning to ensure that she was part of the Zoom conversation, part of the Zoom meeting, because the mayor's office originally was stonewalling getting her the Zoom information. So I know she was a part of the meeting. She was on call, waiting to speak. But the mayor made a willing decision to ignore the calls in the special meeting, to ignore the fact that our guests were here, and to try to force the issue of not allowing her the opportunity to speak. That is unheard of. You know, last meeting, the mayor did exactly what we were trying to do for the state's attorney's office, to take leave of the body to give a non-member the right to speak. She gave that to a staff member that was moving on to a different job. So it was good enough for one of her staff members to speak as she was transferring to a different job. I don't see why it would not have benefited the entirety of Chicago to hear from the state's attorney's office. It's absolutely despicable that she took this route today.
So she did not speak. Jennifer never did get a chance to speak during the meeting.
Never got a chance to speak, even though she was waiting in the wings and everyone knew it.
All right, Alderman, tell me, what did you want to hear from her? What were the questions you wanted her to answer?
Well, I think it's important that we give the state's attorney's office, which obviously has come under fire by the mayor and other individuals for her charges or lack thereof, with regards to a lot of the recent rioting and looting and other issues going on throughout the city of Chicago. I spoke with State's Attorney Fox personally the other day, and she was very much excited about the opportunity to present directly to the alderman what her office does, what her office has been doing, and what her office needs to move forward. You know, our goal wasn't necessarily to try and do a gotcha moment. We want to find solutions on how we can work together, and what she needs from us and what we need from her. And that was the goal. And I think that was a very reasonable ask for this meeting. Obviously, the state's attorney felt the same way. Unfortunately, as we've seen time and again from our mayor, she did not want to hear from anyone other than herself. And rather than work together, come together, as she said, She chose to end the meeting early and ignore the fact that we had an outside elected official who was willing to speak with us to see what we can do collaboratively for the safety of our residents. And that kind of political pettiness does not help our residents, does not help our city, and will only continue to further the slide backwards when it comes to the unified efforts of having law enforcement all on the same page.
All right, so devil's advocate, Alderman. I'm guessing that the mayor might say, you know, you're playing politics too. You're calling a special meeting. This hasn't been done since the time of, you know, the mayor, Father Mayor Daley. This is, you know, you're taking unprecedented action here, and we're at an unprecedented time in our city, and we need to pull together, and I need the council to pull together behind me, and da 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 da.
Yeah, right. let's be clear. She has made a lot of grandiose statements about how, yes, we are in unprecedented times, how it's challenging, how we all need to come together. Well, guess what? I gave you the opportunity to come together. As I stated during the city council meeting, since the May and June riots and looting that happened almost 3 months ago, we have not had one significant city council committee hearing on anything related to what happened, how do we move forward, and what is the plan to ensure that Chicagoans and our businesses feel safe. Not one meeting in 3 months. So clearly there is no impetus for trying to move forward on any of these issues. Our residents, we hear constantly, want to know what we're doing, want to see that we're taking action, want to believe that we have not forgotten what they're struggling with. And if that means we have to take the extraordinary step of calling everyone in to have them refocus and understand that this is truly an extraordinary time that requires extraordinary measures, so be it. Mission accomplished. I heard a lot of chairmen say a lot of things about how they're going to move forward, how are they going to be more reactive and proactive. Great. Let's see it. Start acting on some of those social justice issues that are being ignored since the mayor took office. Start acting on some of these funding issues that are long withstanding. Now's your chance. The ball's in her court now.
So earlier this week on Anna DeVlante's show, I know you've been on there recently too, but Alderman Ramirez Rosa was on there and categorized the looting and the violence that has taken place as a broken window and a lot of drama on Twitter. So the council itself is a bit divided on the severity of what's going on right here. What do you say to that comment that it's a few broken windows, it's not as bad as people are making it out to be?
Look, everyone is entitled to their opinion, and in my view, democracy does not demand conformity. Alderman Ramirez Rosa is entitled to his opinion, as am I, as are the other 48 members of the city council. That is why having an open, public, transparent meeting in which we can debate our views and finally make a decision as a singular body are important. We have not had that opportunity to discuss this. Alderman Ramirez Rosa was supportive of the effort to have the discussion today about the National Guard because he feels that it is not necessary. I feel that it is. But we have not had the opportunity to openly discuss this together along with our colleagues. And we need to continue to start having more meetings, to be able to start making decisions so that we could start checking things off the board that we want to pursue or don't want to pursue, because right now all our residents see is a city that's adrift. I personally believe that there's more to these organized agitators working the neighborhoods in our city. I don't think that our peaceful protesters are alone when they're on the streets. There are individuals, there are groups actively working to incite the city and to try and force situations with police so that they can use them for their propaganda. That is my belief, and I've seen that, and I will stick with that. But we have to have a public conversation on how to address that. And we can't do that if we're constantly being pushed to the side by this mayor and her allies who'd rather just put their head in the sand than start making decisions.
When you say you believe there are organized agitators, what exactly do you think about that? Or are you saying you think is happening? Because I think Republicans and Democrats are accusing the other side of inciting things and trying to make things worse. What do you think is actually going on? It's not just a bunch of kids, you know, saying, hey, we're gonna get some payback for what we feel are injustices over the years. You think this is truly an organized issue?
I believe since May that this was very much an organized effort that we saw the first time our city experienced the rioting and looting. No one, in my opinion, randomly just has access to dozens of box trucks, dozens of individuals who are able to organize hundreds of people to systemically go throughout the city of Chicago on a rotating basis to attack key assets in the neighborhood. What I've seen as of late is individuals who associate themselves with the city of Chicago, parts of our own street outreach organizations, groups that get money both from public and private sources, openly, aggressively trying to engage our police officers to force a confrontation and then run to the media and say that they were, in fact, the victims attacked by police. I've seen this with my own eyes, and we have to start calling out those groups as well.
So what would you like to see done? Because it's a very tough situation. I think we can all agree there are no easy answers on what needs to happen here. But I also, because I think on one side people feel that the police have, you know, we know there have been a lot of issues and a lot of payments that the city council's had to make over the years with issues with police. We also see, I think a lot of us, with our own eyes, that we get to points where what else are the police supposed to do than get physical with people? When the, for me, it goes back to the statue, and I've talked about this on the show. When the mayor removed the statue in the middle of the night, I thought that that was a really bad sign to send to people that a mob mentality can get things done. I think that did embolden things, and I think that you very easily could have built something around that structure and just the statue is closed for the summer until a future date. By taking it down, I don't see how that ever goes back up without causing more problems, and I think there's no going back once you do that.
Well, I think to your point, Matt, you know, we have seen where this mayor has capitulated to the mob rule on multiple occasions. You know, not just the Columbus statue, but also going back all the way to, like, Hillco, the demolition in Little Village, where when protesters appeared at her house, she suddenly decided that the demolition had to immediately stop because they were on her front lawn. You know, we need to be able to function in a way that does not involve the mob rule mentality. You know, we have to be a society that has process, has transparency, has inclusion. And we can't do that if we keep falling to the whims of extreme anarchy. What we continue to see is that our police are being overworked. Our budget all across the board are strained, not just because of the overtime and issues that we're dealing with, trying to deal with civil unrest, but ever since COVID, the beginning of the year. And we're not having discussions on how we're going to fix this. We're trying to ignore the situation. The mayor is basically saying she's waiting for almost a $1 billion bailout from the federal government. But we're not coming up with solutions. And to be quite honest, city government is not owning the problems that exist right now. We're not owning the fact that many neighborhoods, you see the largest increase in crime and violence in decades. We're not owning the fact that people are losing their jobs, losing their homes, can't pay their mortgages, and are about to get socked by reassessment on their property taxes. We are not owning any of these issues. We're just pointing fingers. And at the very least, the most simplest of all solutions to get the ball rolling is we need to get ourselves in a room and basically start locking the doors until we start hashing things out one at a time. Pick an issue and fix it and move on. But we're seeing so many issues, we're choosing not to take any action on anything.
Do you think these are issues that can be fixed behind a locked door if you guys were forced in there? I mean, you know, there's no easy answers to any of this. It's not pick a color and paint the room.
No, but I think that let's put the most simplest and easiest of things in, so to speak. People have been asking for police accountability and civilian oversight for 3 years now. The last mayor dodged it. The current mayor said, I'll get it done in 100 days, and here we are 15 months later. We need to address this issue. We need to get this off the board so that individuals who are trying to manipulate civil unrest have one less thing to talk about. We as a city council, the mayor as the executive, need to come together and start having meetings and hashing out and putting this issue to bed, so that we can take this off the board and then focus on the next item. And right now, we have not been doing that on that issue or a myriad of other issues affecting the city of Chicago. It's time we start addressing the issues. We start owning our problems, good, bad, or ugly, so that we can start addressing them, handling them, and moving on to the next one.
Tell me what you think about the whole defund the police movement, Alderman Lopez. I think it's incredibly poorly named and leads right away to a very negative feeling among most people. But the idea being that we put too much money into just arresting people and not enough into the other services that help rehabilitate or prevent things bad from happening in the first place. And thereby, everything falls at the hands of the police, which helps lead to all the problems that the police encounter in dealing with the public. Where are you at on that?
Well, I agree with you that the name Defund the Police has a very negative association attached with it. I do think that what I've seen in other cities is that they have taken a look at their calls for service, their 911 calls, and tried to match the public safety funding to what is most commonly showing up in those 911 calls. And I think that's a positive first approach, because as you said, oftentimes our police are the end-all, catch-all for all of society's problems. Everyone wants police to be the marriage counselor, the drug counselor, the youth counselor, as well as the person who's supposed to arrest people and deal with all the other issues life throws at them. You know, we can't expect them to do everything and then tell them that they're wrong when they do it. So if we need to scale back what their responsibilities are or realign things a little better so that they could focus on things in a more narrow way, I'm in favor of that. But what I think detracts from this conversation, is when you have individuals who go to the ultimate extreme saying that we don't need any police at all, that, you know, you and your neighbors can handle if someone decides to break into your house and kill you. You know, that I think is completely nonsensical to me. We do need police. We just have to ensure that there's a legitimacy to what they do and maybe look at funding other things so that the police aren't always the ones who have to be called to deal with individuals in non-threatening situations.
Yeah. Tell me what you're thinking, because you mentioned that, you know, we have a lot of problems ahead. You feel that the city is ignoring too many problems right now. I keep thinking about the businesses that are not only the businesses that aren't coming back, but the businesses that are moving out of the city or don't need their space anymore, deciding to not. And I worry about the commercial market downtown and how that is going to affect all the other businesses that serve lunch, janitorial services, everything else that's going to trickle down to, and then what that's going to mean for the city in the lost revenue and the lost tax revenue. Have you guys started talking at all internally about what this pandemic is going to mean for us, not in the next 6 months, but in the next 10 years?
No. And again, that is part of the reason why there was a resolution associated with the special meeting on Friday to address what some of the, to start having these budget conversations. Look, the city of Chicago has a $10 billion budget, of which 25% of that comes from tourism, parking, hotel, motel, restaurants, you name it. And as we all know, for the past 6 months, those industries have been non-existent, which means our revenue has been non-existent, which means about $2.5 billion of revenue is lost because is in question now. You know, we haven't taken any kind of serious look at restaurants and how to support businesses downtown and beyond so that our workers have somewhere to still call home. We haven't looked at what the impact on the retail, on the residential market of the Central Business District will be like. And that is the area that produces, I think, about 35% of the city's overall property tax base. You know, we have spent almost a decade building up the downtown to become a residential destination, not just a dead zone after 5 p.m. And now we have people of means who are rethinking whether or not it's worth living downtown because of civil unrest. If we lose downtown, if we are no longer able to provide that kind of stability that funds everything in neighborhoods like mine, which don't have a large tax base, that will have a ripple effect on the city, not, I don't even think for 10 years, but for an entire generation. We are on the cusp of either going down the path Detroit went, or we need to go a different path to save our city. And those discussions, those meetings, any actions to address them have not been made, have not been articulated to the aldermen, and definitely have not happened in a public forum.
You know, you talk about downtown and how important that economic base is for the rest of the city and the funding that comes from it. And, you know, in the last few weeks when the bridges have been raised and the prevention is there, you know, I do feel that the mayor is in a very tough position, because on the one hand, you want to tell the police, just get the hell in there and stop this. On the other hand, you don't want to make this any worse. You want to try to figure out what makes sense, because we know we've had issues over the years. But when people complain, and I've seen people tweet that the bridges are raised and that means the mayor cares about property over people, I think that's a very short-sighted way to look at things, because when that property goes and that revenue goes, those neighborhoods are going to suffer for 10, 15, 20 more years. And you know, everything that we're trying to help and we need to fund and do a better job of, we lose even more if people aren't coming downtown, if people aren't working downtown, if people aren't touristing downtown.
Yeah, I think it's a very easy populist remark to say, oh, look, you know, only cares about the rich people or things, comments like that. But those people that are in that impacted area are also funding a large majority of the programs in neighborhoods like mine on the South Side, and communities like Back of the Yards and West Englewood, where we don't have the tax base to generate the money that we spend in my ward. You know, you would have to triple my residents' tax bills and those of the entire city if we were to see the tax base destabilize in the Central Business District at a time when people are already struggling in the other neighborhoods throughout the city of Chicago. This is a group effort when it comes to paying the bills. And if we lose that, we would also end up losing our Neighborhood Opportunity Fund, which helps fuel a lot of city investment using private dollars. There are a whole host of things that are in jeopardy if we allow this to continue. But I think that is why we need to focus on what is the oxygen in the fire fueling a lot of the civil unrest. If it's police accountability, if it's funding for social programming, then we need to start looking at what it is that these individuals who are peacefully protesting and demanding action want action on, so that we can address them and take the oxygen out of the room and quell their fire. We haven't done that. We keep punting on these issues, and it only adds to their frustration. The sooner we take their issues up, the sooner we address them, the sooner we'll be, in a normalized fashion, the sooner we'll be able to start dealing with other issues and bring the city back from the brink.
Alderman Lopez, it was a bad day for city council and the mayor in relations on Friday. Are you hopeful for what next week brings, or do you think this is going to get even worse? And are you going to be able to rally enough members of the city council together to really, you know, push back on the mayor?
Well, I think what we saw Friday was aldermen were forced to take a stand. Now residents will see where their aldermen stand in terms of trying to do what's necessary to keep Chicago safe. Aldermen will have to go back to their wards and answer why they voted the way they did, yes or no. And I think that is a good day in the city of Chicago. Do I have high hopes that the mayor is going to have an epiphany and come together and work with everybody? No. But I know that today we showed a glimmer of independence for a body historically known for just being the mayor's, you know, rubber stamp. And I think that is a good day for the city of Chicago.
Alderman Ray Lopez from the 15th Ward, we really appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Matt. Have a great day.
The stories that matter coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN.